Welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Podcast. Subscribe to this podcast to get easy access to the sermons preached on Sundays at Lighthouse Church. These messages are extracted from the live stream of our services, which can be found on our channel, My Lighthouse Vancouver, on YouTube. If you have any questions on these messages, feel free to send your comments or questions via email to info@ladnerlife.com. That's info@ladnerlife.com. Lighthouse Church is located in Metro Vancouver in beautiful British Columbia, Canada, and is affiliated with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Now, here is this Sunday's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. Really great to be here. I feel very comfortable, and I feel very welcomed, and love the worship that happened this morning, and just the engagement that was taking place in this room. This morning, if you have your Bibles, I'm just going to get right to it, because I know that I'm not one of those guys that's like, well, I'm a guest, I'll preach as long as I want to preach, and I don't care. No, we'll let you go by 11 o'clock, but we also want to have a time of ministry this morning, just to pray for any needs that you might have. I know that there's a prayer team that will come and pray for you, whether it's big or small. Please do not leave this building this morning until you feel like someone has prayed with you in faith. So that's the glue. What else is really important is not that I mean, yes, it's my life is transitioning. I'm now assisting at the district office, but I tell you what the real important thing in the kingdom of God is. It's the local church. I love the local church. I've pastored for 36 years. Still tonight, I go to Recovery Church tonight. I volunteer at Recovery Church. When I'm not traveling in the district somewhere, I'm in the local church, because that's where the kingdom of God is expressed. And the district is not the church. This is the church, where people gather from young to old. That's the church. And I love the church. And thank you, Danny. Thank you, Evan, for the invite today to come speak. If you have your Bibles, maybe you're old school and you use your phone to read the Bible, or if you're cool and hip and you actually use a paper Bible, then that would be great. And I want you to turn to Acts chapter 1, and we're going to look at Acts chapter 1, verse 1 to 8. And I want to talk this morning about, I know that you're going through a series, Living Large. I live a little bit large because I think this body's made for luxury, but I got to work on that for sure. But I want to talk about living large and the power to be mission, or to be part of the mission. Danny made mention that for the last 9 years, I've been the director of pastoral theology at Summit, just part-time as I pastored Recovery Church. And this is what I tell my students. If I go a little bit too fast, I apologize. I just have got some few things to say. I'll try to calm down a little bit and go a little slower for everyone, but probably not, You can watch it in 0.5 speed on YouTube. But what I tell the students, the pastoral theology students, is if you are going to be placed in a church, or if you're looking at a church, please don't go to a church that just does worship and word and Bible studies every week. No offense to those of you that love worship. We love that. But the kingdom of God in the local church is more than that. You have to be part of a local body that gives a rip about the community around us. And can I just say this to you, Lighthouse? Some of you look mad already, so I'm wondering what's going on. Can I just say to you, Lighthouse, that you're a good church? Do you hear that often? I'm sure that Pastor Danny tells you all the time, you're a good church, Lighthouse. Like what I just heard with support of Millie and the ministry update that we have and all the different ministries that you support, that's what it's about. It's about worship, word, and learning, and it's about being a prophetic arm to the community. I mean, with your daycare, with your food bank, you should give yourself a hand for that. Honestly, like just do it. Like just let's thank God for that. Thank you, Lighthouse, for being that kind of church. It's amazing. Given our time, you would usually read it and then we'll dissect it, but we'll go through it piece by piece this morning. But I just want to again pray this morning. Is that okay? Father, we thank you. I thank you again for this church. Thank you for the leadership and the board and the people. Thank you, God, that ministry happens all through this building. It's just not in this room. Thank you for the kids and the volunteers and the junior highs and 6, 7, 8s and youth. And I see young adults always. God, amazing. Would you empower the leadership? Would you empower Danny? Would you empower the leadership of this church to keep going in the empowerment of your Holy Spirit? So, Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you that we pray as David prayed. Show us wondrous things from your law this morning. And everyone said, amen. I was leading a church in Calgary from 2005 to 2014. And in 2008, Tesla put out their first vehicle. It was called the Roadster. Now, I don't know if anybody, does anybody drive a Tesla here this morning? Don't be ashamed. Don't be shy. If it's a Tesla truck, don't put your hand up. But if you drive a, Tesla, let me know. But, you know, we usually criticize the things that we don't understand or experience. And I remember when Tesla put out the Roadster, I had a board member who bought a Tesla. And I was like, Tesla, there's no gas in that thing. What a joke. It's an EV. But until you actually rode in the Tesla, and it went from zero to like 100 in 3.5 seconds, it's like, okay, I think this is a pretty cool vehicle. My board member, being at the very first purchase of a Roadster, told me one of the Sundays, he goes, yeah, I had to take my Tesla in because the battery was defunct. And we had this little conversation of so much power, so much coolness, but no power under the hood. And I think one of the problems in our lives, one of the problems in the church is sometimes that we make the assumption, you know, I don't know you. You don't know every heart in this room. We don't read each other's minds or the hearts, but we cannot, as the Church of Jesus Christ, assume just because of the way that we look, by the way that we worship, by the way that we carry ourselves, that we're walking in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You can look the part, play the part, but what I want to talk to you about this morning is just being a people of God, empowered to mission, who are dependent on the Holy Spirit every single day of our lives. And that's an issue, I think, in the church. And Jesus would say that all your information, and there's nothing wrong with information. I love theology. I dig it. I read it. But all the theology, all the knowledge, all the training, that we think that that's the same as being empowered by the Holy Spirit, like the Tesla who just died. It is not. I want to encourage you that every single day, every time that you wake up, people of God, would you invite the presence of the Holy Spirit to empower you to do what Jesus actually asked you to do? So the problem is this transference from the power of God to us thinking that just all the information or our history in the local church is enough. It's not. We need the Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't come out at Halloween. The Holy Spirit is a part of the triune God. The Holy Spirit was part of the Word of God from creation till your salvation. Right to today, the Holy Spirit is working in your heart, even right now, convicting us and drawing to Jesus. When Jesus said that I'm going to leave you, he said I'm going to send another. And the word another there is not heteros. It's not like I'm going to send someone different. He says the word is allos. I'm going to send someone who is exactly the same as me. Do you know what the most intellectual, kind, loving, most empowered person in this room is? It's not me. It's not Pastor. It's the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the most sane, empowering presence that we have in this room. And so in Acts chapter 1 is, because we're talking about the mission of God, Acts chapter 1 is usually preached at missions conferences, and I just want to put this before you, that I think that the secondary meaning of Acts chapter 1 has become the main meaning. When we read Acts chapter 1, especially up to verse 8, we think that Acts 1 is about going to the ends of the earth, and it is. Mission is about Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. But the secondary meaning has become the first. But the first idea of Acts chapter 1 is not necessarily going to the ends of the earth, but the real meaning of Acts chapter 1 is the empowerment of God's people to do what Jesus called us to do. Are you still with me? Okay, so I'm going to just keep going here because I'm watching that clock, and we want to pray for you. So Acts chapter 1 is not that much of a strategy to do missions, but it's talking about God's empowerment in our lives. Let me just give you a little bit of context here to Acts chapter 1, because if we don't understand the hermeneutical context of the scripture, then we'll just interpret scripture by our own context, right? And that can be dangerous. So you think about here in Acts chapter 1, and I love it when it says, in the first book, I'm just going to preach, is that all right? In the first book, O Theophilus, I've dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. Did you know that Jesus is still our teacher? He's still our teacher, and he's king. Someone say amen. Some of those sleepy heads out there. He's still our king. And so Jesus is still our king. So you think about the context of this is that Jesus, with his disciples, he's ready to ascend. He's been with them. The disciples have seen the crucifixion. They walked with him. They understood him. He died. They were in fear. They were hiding, except Thomas. He was still out in the city. I think Thomas was not a scaredy cat. I think he was one of the ones that were less afraid than the other disciples. They went from pinnacle to fear back to pinnacle. And here it says that Jesus taught them for 40 days. Imagine that. 40 days with Jesus. Like the most incredible theological study and input into somebody's life that they have ever received. And I'm sure that the disciples were emotional and they hung on every word of Jesus Christ and they were ready to go and to be his hands extended. Then Jesus exposes the disciples to a few aspects of the Holy Spirit's power. And let's look at that. And the first thing is that I see this is in verse 1 to 5. And would you read this with me? In the first book, O Theophilus, I dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken, and after he had given commandments through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will baptize with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Let's just pause here. 40 days, Jesus appeared with the disciples. And what Jesus did is he convinced the disciples of who he was. If there was any doubt about his kingship, if there's any doubt about his lordship, Jesus convinced the disciples here who Jesus was. Jesus solidified the mission of God for the disciples in those 40 days. And I already said it's the most incredible theological training ever. Answered questions, affirmed who he was. The disciples were ready. They went from pinnacle to pit, now to pinnacle, and Jesus is about to descend, and the disciples, could you imagine? Just ready to go. Jesus, let's go! You know, like the Mariners winning over the Blue Jays. Sorry if you're a Blue Jays fan. Mariners fan up here. Let's go! Let's do this. And then all of a sudden, in verse 4, Jesus said, I want you to wait. What? What are you talking about, Jesus? I want you to wait. If you were one of the disciples with Jesus, if you've seen his miracles, if you saw him heal people with a word, a spoken word, or touch people and they were healed, he confronted religious leaders and he loved people so well. He was put on a cross and died and they were despondent, but then the word of the resurrection came and you were with him 40 days, you'd be like, we're ready to go. And did you just hear what he said? Did Jesus say, wait? What are you talking about, Jesus? What do you mean? Jesus, we have ministry strategy. We've got the plans. We've got the demographics for Ladner. We're ready to go. We understand the people that we need to reach. We got the papers. We got the demographics. We're ordained. We've got the license. We're licensed ministers. And you want us to what? Jesus says, I want you to wait. Wait. Verse 4b and 5, Jesus says, I want you to wait because you do have the baptism of John, but you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What was the baptism of John? The baptism of John was a baptism of turning
from society and culture and ideologies to make sure that Jesus is king. We know that there was lots of political activism in the United States yesterday. And don't get hung up on politics. But here's what I would say. I saw one sign in the news that said, Jesus is king. And I'm like, that's it. It's no political leader. It's no president. It's no prime minister. Jesus is king. That was the baptism of John, that they have all their politics, all their ideas. The baptism of John was a turning and walking as King Jesus is Lord. But then Jesus said, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Because the baptism of the Holy Spirit will sustain you and lift you up in that walking a different walk, in walking a different mindset, in walking as Jesus is king. It's the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that will help you do what Jesus asked you to do. So Jesus, we have the theology, we have the strategy, we have the enthusiasm, we've got the manuals, we've got the plans, and are you saying we're still not ready? My family and I, we lived in Singapore for 3 years. We planted a church in Singapore, and in Singapore, there's three types of weather. There's hot, hotter, and hellish. And my son, being just a little guy, 2 and 3 years old, he would, like, some of you parents understand this. He would take off his clothes all the time. Like he would just be naked. Like in Singapore, it's like 42 degrees. Everyone's sweating, you know. And he would just walk around naked. And we moved back to BC, and I pastored at Broadway Church for 7 years as missions pastor. And there was still one issue that we had to work on, and that was my son taking off his clothes at various times of the day. Remember when we would have company that would come over, and you know someone would ring the doorbell. And all of a sudden, he would open up the door, and we'd come around the corner, and we'd see our company, but then we'd also see our son standing there totally naked. He'd have maybe like a Ninja Turtle mask on or, you know, a Batman cape, but this little three-year-old just totally butt naked. I hear my wife, Shelly, it's like, Levi, get in here, get your clothes on. I think if we look at this text, I wonder if God looks at us and Jesus says, listen, Lighthouse Church, you got to get your spiritual clothes on. You got to get ready. You have to be filled with the Spirit. You need to be empowered. I think Jesus, in his mind, he's thinking about sending these disciples off to spread the word about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's saying, listen, I need you to be spiritually alert. You've got all the knowledge. You've got all the teaching. I've solidified my kingship in your heart. But you need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Like, you think it's a joke out there, disciples? You think they're gonna treat you with kindness when you tell them that, no, Caesar's not king. Jesus is king. You read the Fox's Book of Martyrs. You know that all the disciples except John were murdered because of the message of Jesus Christ. And I think Jesus says, I need you to be spiritually alert. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You're going where demons are treading. It's not for the faint of heart. You need wisdom and discernment and love and compassion. And I want you to wait for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Don't we need the Holy Spirit, Lighthouse Church? Like when you leave those doors today, when you walk to your car, that's where demons tread with philosophies and theologies and ideas and perceptions. We need wisdom and discernment to be like, Jesus, I want you to be your hands and feet. I want to be compassionate to the people around me. But let me speak the kingdom of God and the gospel appropriately so people understand your love for them. We need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. That's the priority that Jesus said. Then the second thing. I know I'm going fast, but as Pastor Danny said, just rewatch it and put it on point five. The second thing that I see here from this text, and hope you don't mind, I just like preaching one text. We look at verses 6 and 7. Let me read this. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times and seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. See, here we see this, and maybe this is just a little bit different from how you've read this. The disciples' idea of what needs to happen after they're filled with the Holy Spirit is a bit out of whack. They're thinking about a political restoration of Israel. They're thinking, okay, Jesus, now that we have the Spirit, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? You have to remember the Romans were subjugating the people, and there was an authority, and there was war, and there was crimes that were happening. And of course they would ask that question. Is it now, Jesus? They're thinking about some kind of prophetic idea that now Jesus is going to restore the kingdom to Israel. Like, I have to just say this. I like prophecy. But prophecy, Revelations 19:10 says, the right prophecy is always in the spirit of Jesus. Do you know that Old Testament prophets were always held accountable? We miss that about prophets today. We have people who make statements and time zones, and they say it's going to happen here. Oh, I thought it was next year. That is theological garbage, Lighthouse. That the prophets of the Old Testament were part of the priesthood. They were held accountable. They were part of the community of faith. One time I had somebody come to me at CLA and said, he just drove on the parking lot and says, I'm a prophet and I have a word for CLA. I said, you're not a prophet, you're a false prophet. If you are a prophet and you're not in community and you're accountable, you are a false prophet. I love prophecy. But Jesus here says this, and he's very kind in saying it. What did Jesus saying, but you don't know the times and the seasons? He's basically saying this, be careful of chasing theological hobby horses and don't get out of whack, disciples. Don't get out of balance. I want you to keep your focus. It's on loving people and sharing the gospel with them. Jesus is not very seeker sensitive here. He basically says, it's not for you to know the times. It's not for you to know the dates. Listen, Lighthouse, let's keep our minds and our hearts on the job ahead of us. I talked about a few things that were political. I know that a lot of us can get riled up about politics, and I like politics, but here's the thing. If I have political ideas and Danny has political ideas, I am set in my heart that will not divide me and Danny. But we've allowed those things to divide us in the church and the kingdom of God. Can I just say, Lighthouse, stay unified. Stay together. Who cares if you're this side or that side or the middle side, but in the kingdom of God, who is king? Jesus is king. And you have to remind yourself of that. This is a clarion call for you and I. Please, let us keep motivated by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's be motivated to see lives changed. Yes, it's powerful to be here. It's powerful to be in this room. We sense the Spirit. We sensed it during worship. We sense the presence of God. It's so amazing. But it's not the greatest test I don't think Jesus gives to you and I. The greatest test is not in these four walls or how we look in these four walls or how did you worship in these four walls, because we evaluate internally, we respond internally, we succeed internally. But I think the really thing is, okay, when you walk out that door today, how are you going to treat people that are all around you? I think that's the test that Jesus gives us. So wait, tarry, invite the Holy Spirit to fill you, and then keep the right perspective on ministry. We've got a lot of work to do. Yes, the POC, we got, you know, we could fill, you know, BC Place if we all came together. But we've got lots of work to do, Lighthouse. Lots of work to do. We see a priority. I'm going to keep going because prayer is more important than some preacher. There's perspective. But then there's the finished product. And this is in verse 8. And I'll reread this. Verse 8. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and to the ends of the earth. When you look at verse 8, and you can reread this, what is the power produce? Hermeneutics says this, that if you want to find the intent of the author, it's defined by the context of that text. Then you kind of come out a little bit, then you go to the whole book, and you'll know what the context and the intent of the author is. Again, I said at the beginning that Acts chapter 1, verse 1 to 8 is not necessarily about evangelism. Yes, it is about evangelism, but it has to do with what the Holy Spirit will produce. And what is that? If you look at verse 8 and you see the pronouns, it says this, but you will receive power, but you will be my witnesses. I want to just give you this. What is the finished product of the Spirit of God? Empowerment upon your life to do what Jesus is asking you to do. That's what the Spirit does. But you will be changed. I will make you. Marvin R. Vincent, who is a theological Greek scholar, says, again, that the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is to give you the inherent ability to do everything that Jesus asked you to do. All the training, the last 40 days that the disciples had with Jesus, you've got all the stats, you know it, you're solidified, but you need the empowerment and the ability of the Holy Spirit. My prayer for you, Lighthouse, is that you would walk in a spiritual authority, not arrogance, not pride, but knowing and being desperate every single day. Holy Spirit, fill me so that I can do what you've called me to do and be the person that when people see me, do they see the grace of God and the mercy of God? Do they see Jesus when they think about Doug Frederick or put your own name in there? And the power is for you, Lighthouse, so that you can do ministry. Who does ministry belong to in Lighthouse? Who said it? It's the people. I love Danny. I think Danny's an amazing pastor. But Danny is not the model for ministry. Do you know who is? It's Jesus. And if you look at Ephesians chapter 4, we know that Danny and your team here, Evan, it says that Jesus saves us from slavery, and then Jesus gives us gifts to the church. Now, it would go weird if Danny thought he was a gift to the church. But he's a gift to the church. For what? To help you get involved in ministry. That's what the empowerment of the Spirit does. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, each part. Who's each part? You are each part. Then it says in verse 7, each one has a spiritual gift. And who's the measure? Not the pastoral team. The measure is Jesus. Jesus gives each of you in this room a gifting to reach and touch people. It doesn't stay with you. The focus is people. Then you look at verse 12 of Ephesians 4. It says to each. Who is that? The saints. That's you. Listen, Danny is the overseer of this church. And of course, Danny, in that overseeing, he thinks about the money and tithes and leads, and maybe there's some discipline that needs to happen or a strong coffee conversation. He is an overseer of this church. But I want to just say this really clear. He's not above you. He's not below you. He's with you. And you have a responsibility, each one in this room, to do the ministry that God has called you to do. And you need to find that out. But you can't do it unless you have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Listen, Lighthouse Church, our culture, our world is in trauma, and it's broken, and it's needy, and it's divided, and it's hurting, and there's pain, and there's brokenness. I don't care who the person you think the person is that got it all together, there's pain there. And the world needs a church like Lighthouse Church, filled with the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, to give us wisdom and discernment and love and compassion so that we can share Jesus with everyone that you come in contact with. So there's a priority. There's a perspective, and there is a product. We're empowered so that we actually give a rip about our neighbor and those who are destitute in the city of Ladner. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for Lighthouse Church. Thank you for this house. Thank you again for the leadership and the people. And Father, this morning, we just simply say, in our focus and our need to walk in mission, we even just right now, Holy Spirit, would you come and fill us? I pray right now that the empowerment of the Spirit would come. Holy Spirit, come, rest, empower, fill us. Fill us with the fullness of your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, that we can have a good theological base and we can know all things and we can be into theological teaching, but Lord, I pray that you would fill your people once again with the empowerment and the blessing of the Spirit of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Lighthouse, such a joy to be asked. Thank you, Danny, for trusting me with your people this morning. But the real thread, the real glue this morning is if we could just pray for those of you who need prayer here today. I'm going to ask Jordan just to lead us in a song, but I'm going to ask the leadership team. I know that there are people who are ready to pray. If that's you, please come. I'm not sure where you're placed at the front, Danny, in the front or at the sides. And I'll be standing over here to the right. And we have about 10 minutes before 11. I think at 11 o'clock we'll bring, Danny, you want to bring closure. Danny, we'll close off the service this morning. But please, Lighthouse Church, please don't leave unless you've been prayed for. Maybe it's financial or there's relationship, or maybe even this morning you just say, I've been walking dry. I need to be refilled with the Spirit of God. You know, Jesus told the disciples to wait. I think that is like an earmark of Pentecostal people. We love to linger. We love to linger and just say, come, Spirit of God. But I also believe that when we pray for the Spirit to fall, I believe that He takes us at His word and He comes. And so this morning, whatever the prayer need is, if you just want to be refreshed with the Spirit, then just come and be prayed for one of these leaders here this morning. And thank you, Lighthouse Church. Bless you.
Hi, I'm Pastor Danny, the lead pastor at Lighthouse Church. I hope that this message has been an encouragement to you and helped you in your journey with God. At Lighthouse Church, we believe that Jesus came so that we could have life and that life to the fullest. Our resources, teaching, and ministries are designed to help us flourish in life. And if there's any way we can help you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You'll find all the information you need at ladnerlife.com. That's www.ladnerlife.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified each time another message or resource comes available. Till next time, be blessed, live well.